You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Welcome to another sequel packed within a sequel within a sequel within another sequel. So many sequels that we can't even find the prequel. Bob, welcome back.
Rob, as always, a pleasure.
I'm tired.
Dude, it's been a long year. It's been a fast but long year. I cannot believe we're already into December and COVID. I have to bring it up now. You know, COVID, as everybody knows, it just drug last year on, and we couldn't wait to get into a new year. And now here we are in and almost out of that new year. I don't know about you, but I can even look into the projections of my own business. This year has been great. It's been really good. There's been a lot of growth. But it's also been slow in other areas. And so it's just been, it's been very bizarre to put together, but crazy. We're almost out of 21.
It's a mulligan. Do we get another one? It's like a redo. We get, you know, golf in terms, mulligan.
I do. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I started thinking about this a lot because I was like the other day, I was like, damn it, it's December already. I was like, well, it just felt like it was just not even that long ago. It was, you know, Halloween, then it was summertime and it was July 4th and it was all these types of things. Then I'm like, I'm thinking about this. I'm like, obviously when you're a kid in school, it just goes by so slow because you're basically a slave for like 7 hours, or maybe slave might be a bad word. But let's say you're under control when you're in a school for 8 or 7 hours, however long you go. And then now it's like, once you get out of into the world and you're doing your own thing, the days just go by so quick, where I'm like, people talk about age. Once you get older, time goes by so quick. And I'm like, I don't that necessarily might be true, man. Like, I don't think it's an aspect of like, no, it just seems like you're running out of time. I think it's more of an aspect of like, when you start doing your own things and you're kind of living life or doing whatever you're doing, or just being, you know, trying to make it to the next day, it's a completely different feel. Like school, like my childhood felt like it was forever, like an eternity. And then now that I'm like older, it's like, geez, it's already Friday. It's already Saturday. It's already, you know, it's already the weekend. It's like crazy thinking that just the other day felt like Monday. It's like, no, that was a week ago. I mean, last time we talked was about almost 100 episodes ago.
Just wait, dude. You're only what, 25? So
25.
Huh?
Not even 24 yet.
See, and time's already flying by for you. Where are you going to be at another 10 years?
I'm going to blink and be a pile of ash.
Exactly. Ricochet Robbie. Pew, pew, pew. Yeah, it'd be crazy.
What do you predict in the next 10 years? Robots?
Dude, I'm not predicting. I think that we are definitely going to continue to advance technologically, space travel. Geez, even that just within the last year, that's been crazy. Let's get into one of your favorite topics. Let's talk about interstellar space travel. Let's talk about aliens. I mean, you know, with the stuff now coming out with the aliens and the existence of them and more reportings, and now the government has launched this task force of who you can report your sightings and things to. Is that just another blow over cover up to appease the public, or is there really something there? And the government's starting to give in a little bit to the existence of something they won't explain.
Well, you were involved in the government. I mean, have you ever seen any of this type of stuff before? Like, have you ever even thought in the million years that this would even be a possibility of a scenario that we're living in? I tried to relate it to TV shows or movies, like which one's the most, is it 1984? No, I think it's like the Truman Show, but I don't think we're all scripted or on camera. I just think that we've all been like getting fed the same exact line over and over again. And like the real information has just been secret and kept down on lock, and only elite people get to know it, where I'm just like, damn it, I want to be those elite people. What do I have to do? Do I need like 5 signatures from the Pope and a holy blessing?
Maybe it's more like Soylent Green.
the possibility too.
I don't know. I have my own speculation on whether or not the government's trying to groom us as a people as far as control goes. But it sure seems odd, all of the things that have taken place and are still taking place. What with mandates, shipping issues on the shore. And I've still got a couple cases of sauce somewhere vacationing between Los Angeles and Australia. I don't know where it is. I don't know why it's out there. It should have been delivered months ago. I don't understand why those things happen. I would think that the president, the government, the powers that be, someone would even utilize our military to unravel the transportation issues that seem to be at the crux of so many things. As far as what we're being told. So if you don't have enough transportation people, drivers per se, or shipyard workers, why aren't we pooling our resources out of our military? That's one that I don't understand. I would think that we could definitely start unloading some cargo ships and delivering some containers.
I really try my hardest to like spend my free time looking into like really interesting like scientific advancements and throughout history. That's why I've been getting so interested in the UFO topic, is because like that opened up a window of a lot of people who have their own theories of what and who and why they are. And as much as I can sit there and crap on the government and get into the real conspiratorial stuff like I like, or what you would label a conspiracy theory, even though everyone's on the news talking about it, whatever. I do like the idea, like hearing that there might be future people where they've mastered like being able to go back in time. And I'm like, that's right up your freaking realm, where I'm like, damn, nobody told Bob about this. Like if they're already mastering time travel or doing, that's what they think the UFO tech is. They think it's either future tech, our tech that's been modified from another civilization or something that's came here, or it is outer world tech, which is something from another planet. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I mean, not even a year or two ago, I was joking around about Buzz Aldrin saying that there's water on the moon and there's an obelisk on Mars. And damn it, if we didn't find two of those things, like, you know, I don't know. Like it's freaky. But what I do find kind of humbling in a way is when I see that the SpaceX is recently trending for doing like its 15th launch. That's a successful re-landing after it's been going up. And I'm like, this is how it started. Like, think how time has gone so quick, where in June or something like that, everyone was yelling at Elon for his rocket falling and crashing and exploding and burning all this area of land, where people were talking about now plants will never grow back there. And there was that all that hate that was getting thrown at him. Now we're at this point where we are seeing more and more rocket launches go up and come down, where I start speculating on what the next couple of years are going to hold. Are we going to, you know, I thought we were going to advance with tech inside of our bodies, but then I see a robotics video from the UK with a human-like robot that I've played a couple times on this show, and it's freaky, man. It looks like has facial features. It really kind of walks the line of the uncanny valley, where I'm sitting here like, what's going to be the next thing? I mean, if they're finding cure for Alzheimer's now, they're finding something that works better with Alzheimer's, and we're finding different methods of science and research, whether it's medicine or technology. I'm just hoping that it's not for nefarious gain. Especially diving back into Tesla, that old chestnut, you know, people, he was written off as like a crazy person. He tried to get a lot of patents on things, but one of his patents that were was denied by the US Air Force and Navy and Army was a death ray, where they were trying to mess with particles and ionize them to be able to make an actual death ray. I start wondering, if someone had a crazy idea like that now, would they say no?
Well, sure, because we don't want to, there are people that don't want to speculate where we can go, and they're always quick to jump on the negative side. You know, like you were saying, okay, so the first rocket test, let's say there was a crash. So now that's all we're going to look at is the devastation from that. Why should we continue to go forward? You know, what's the first thing at least as a parent, in my mind, you know, you put your kid on a bicycle, you take off the training wheels, you expect there to be a downside to this. And it's, you know, it's get back on and go again. It doesn't matter if it's a horse, if it's a bicycle, if it's an attempt at a space rocket, you know. Let's look at it from a sauce maker's point of view. You turn out a bad recipe. Do you stop? No, you try to improve. So, you know, I can't see that we should continue to stay on a negative bandwagon and, you know, throw down all of the bad, all new ideas as bad. I think that there has to be progress, but it's just, you know, what positive way do we use it? You know, AI and computers, I think that the AI, well, Facebook has proved that its own AI has outgrown even, I think, what Facebook expected. And they were not able to tame that wild horse. And I think that it continues to go line and line, hand in hand with medical breakthroughs even. You know, there's the Lex Luthor approach. You know, there's always using good for evil. It's, you know, what was the reason for the beginning of it? You know, we cloned sheep how long ago? And we've talked, no one has said anything about cloning. How do we know that that's, I mean, that's another conspiracy?
Avi Loeb has. Did you hear his interview, the alien interview? He straight up said that, why don't we just send our clones up there? And I'm like, he said it like it was so normal.
I heard your episode. Yep. I'll just say enlightening. I mean, to even
can you think, believe it though? Can you believe that? Really? People that are going to be clones like that? Or do you think it's like a, maybe they come out like half our size?
But we don't know. I mean, you know, you're talking just a few minutes ago about the robotics, and you know, there's now AI. It can be programmed into a robot to where they can try to mimic expression, to understand when something is, keywords are said, it's a trigger for a response. And if someone says a word that sounds like a question, maybe the robot's like, oh, never thought of that, you know? And so how do we know then that we're not having a discussion with somebody out in the public that's not a live living person as we know it? It's robotics, electronics, and programming.
I wonder why it's being used in like the weirdest way possible, where it's like, instead of capturing medical prowess, it's more on the lines of capturing kind of like a market value prowess. Like, I mean, if they were going to find a way to be able to transfer your consciousness or be able to fix your brain or fix your, maybe your aging factor that all humans are built in with, an aging factor, instead of trying to worry about giving billionaires new bodies so they can keep being billionaires, what about finding medical advancements to be able to keep grandma alive, just to be able to put her in a new body so she can still hold her grandkids, or maybe find a way to put a nanotech into someone's brain who's dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's to deal with the type of mechanisms and maybe fix some of these neurons that are being separated or stop firing. You know what I mean? That type of advancements that could be possibilities out there, but I don't know, because they don't tell you anything. It's like Netflix. Ron White won't do a special on Netflix again because Netflix won't tell him, is my special doing good? We're happy. What the fuck does that mean? Why wouldn't you tell me the analytics? Oh, so you can't negotiate your contract again. Well, that really messes up in case maybe Australia is viewing his special highly. Why wouldn't he just go do a special in Australia? You start to wonder, like, I get the business aspect of it, and I'm not trying to conflate it with the personal aspect of things, but it also becomes very, very sketchy when you start looking at the progress of man has been divulged to which country is going to be the lead successor in that. And I start looking at it like, I'm pretty sure we're all still the same human species, right? Like, and this ethnicities aside, countries aside, accents aside, we're all kind of still the same exact thing. And I wonder if there's like a global brain thinking of trying to get people on that level again. Maybe they might create a weapon like a, remember the, is it the brown note? There's a specific frequency that'll make you poop your pants. And it's like, I wonder if they can tap into that frequency that we can, like, much like when we get into a conversation or anybody gets into a conversation, after 20 minutes or so, you hit the same frequency. The next thing you know, you start vibing together. I mean, we all know what they call coincidences, where let's take 9/11, for instance. They had an exact simulation of the exact attack that happened the same day that it happened. Maybe call that a coincidence, like the documents say, or maybe the fact when I think about you, you think about me, you say my name or you text me. And I'm like, I was just thinking about you. That is a coincidence.
Right.
In my opinion, there's not a whole lot of coincidences that really go on. I start wondering if there's something deeper to that, maybe a type of connection or a type of frequency that you end up getting hit on. If someone wakes up in the morning and goes, oh my God, I just had a kind of a weird feeling that this might happen. Let's run a simulation on it. And then it does happen. Is mm-hmm. that a coincidence or is that a premonition? I was watching Final Destination 5. He predicted the bus crash, saying the word premonition, saying the word vision. If you're not into that hoodoo stuff, you're a man of science or you're whatever, it gets looked at a little bit like, I don't believe that, but I'm like, there has to be. There has always been talks about magic throughout ancient history and all these types of folklore and religion. It's got to come from somewhere. I mean, even if it's not as fancy as pulling a sword from the stone, but something on the basis of like just a belief and a willingness to will something into the universe. I mean, me and Kelly usually talk about frequencies. I don't mean to drag it in onto yours. I don't know where you stand on that one.
No, you're fine. I think that there is an innate piece within each one of us, you know, that we can either nurture or just say it doesn't exist, and then it's lost within us. But to be on the same page, in touch. I mean, there's been many, many times I have sent a note to my wife or to somebody and say, hey, I thought you said you were going to let me know when you were out of your meeting. And it would be, I just got out. It went over, you know, or something to that extent. And it's just, I don't know. It's weird. It's puzzling. Even my wife has said, you get this really ironic knack of timing. You know, when you would ask me something or say, hey, did you remember to, and then, oh yeah, I was just going to call you about that, you know, those type of things. And I've seen that happen with numerous people, but then there's others, like you said, you know, or I just mentioned that, you know, they're not on board and they don't believe. And so if you choose not to see something, does it wither away within you and die? You know, was it something, is it something that can be, worked? I don't know so much that it's like an electronic impulse, but I think that it is a piece that at least some of us have.
I'm conflicted because I'm more about, like, I don't like doing things that I can't do myself, but also I think that maybe the key to success is also having someone else help you when it's needed, like intervene, not like necessarily take away like your keys to your car or something, but more like if you're a podcaster, more than likely you need to get exposure by someone big. Someone big has to get your thing out there. It helps grow your show even faster. Mm-hmm. But if you're an artist, for instance, my buddy Adam, he doesn't like doing TikTok. He doesn't like promoting his work on social media. He draws it, posts, and then goes away. He just can't. He's not good with the social media stuff. Now, you can hire a social media manager that can do it all for you and get you big. But I feel like we're all ones and zeros in a sense. We're all like genetic code. But I feel like we all have very valuable things to play a part in other people's lives. It doesn't mean you need to be like, this is the one for me. No, it's just mm-hmm. that everyone's kind of able to help each other get to a certain point, but you have to be willing to accept the fact that if you help this person, spend all your time in with this person and make them successful, you're not expecting success back, because then someone's going to do the same thing for you. And everyone kind of did that in some aspects of things. If someone like, I definitely think more now the college diploma is being tossed out the window. I see a lot of people going for it because that's what their parents told them they have to go to get a job. But I'm seeing a lot of people starting to look at the aspect of like, is this person actually going to be worth to my company? I'd like to see more movie narratives play on that aspect. A lot of movie narratives are like, the kid's a whiz kid, makes him seem like he's exceptional. But that's what they do with these pop stars today. That's Miley Cyrus. That's Justin Bieber. They're an exception to the rules because they're super talented. You're not so much. And it's like, I don't think it's that much of a rarity. I think when you get success like that, when you become a Twitch streamer, YouTuber, they make it really realistic. Like anybody can do it. But when you get that level of fame, the algorithm just catches you and shoots you up into everybody's face. Like recently, towards the 1,000 mark, my episodes have been getting like way more views. Like my numbers have just been doubling and doubling. And I'm like, I don't know if that's because it's like the idea that it's going to end. It's not really ending. It's more taking a break. But it's interesting where I start going. Is that the algorithm catching it? Because maybe you had to get to a certain number.
Right. Is it content or is it numbers? Yeah, that is interesting. You know, within the sauce community, I'll probably get some hate on this, but you know, I've even heard from some makers that, you know, some of the sauce makers that have had their sauces on Hot Ones, if it wasn't for that, they wouldn't be where they're at. But I think a lot of times you have to get noticed by the right person. You have to get picked up by the right. It doesn't matter if it's somebody, you know, promoting a product and it's a commercial, you know, a sponsor, if you will. But there has to be that right niche, that right hole, that right keyhole. Like you said, you know, do you help somebody else out, give them some insight, and at that risk, they pass you up. But I guess it's all on goals. You know, it's what are we trying to get out of where we want to be or what we are doing? You know, is there a genuine strive to help better others? You know, is that what our goal is? And I think maybe sometimes in the process, that's what we find out is, you know, maybe number one isn't where we were to be. It's, you know, it's a road of fame and fortune that maybe we can't handle. So we're better staying lower level and helping launch somebody else into that.
And you expect more equality of outcome, though. You would expect more people to be able to pursue the things that they would like to do in the world because they love doing those things, and it wouldn't be so difficult to survive. But how many people, you know, don't, maybe they have a hot sauce business or maybe they have this, but they still have to work the 9 to 5 and they can't just work on their product and they can't just do those types of things. They have to go to their job. And the next, you know, they get beaten down and then it's harder to keep up the business because they have to do this. And it's like, it makes it very, very difficult where I start wondering, like, would the world be a little bit different, like if we were in a society where people could just do the things that they wish and have a passion for, like had more equal opportunity to do so? I'm not saying people need to be therapists, but I think you can tell if a person actually cares about talking to a person rather than just trying to fuck with somebody's head. You know, I think you can easily tell that if you're hiring people. But a business, for instance, like there's a movie with Ben Affleck where he's like, welcome to the meeting room, and everyone's in the meeting room. And the one guy's like, he's like, you're in my seat. Guy gets up, goes, I'm so sorry. And he goes, sit down. And one dude goes, idiot. And he goes, you get out. He goes, why? He goes, we're a team here. He goes, we don't play that here. And dude leaves the room. He goes, now, does anybody have this certain type of degree? You know, works in class 7 section, whatever this. And the guy goes, only person there goes, I have my class 7. He goes, good, get out. He goes, what? He goes, I don't need another broker. I'm here to train brokers. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Like necessarily not taking away people from getting a job because they have the degrees, don't just cut them out, but giving more equal opportunity for people that might be less qualified that actually truly have a passion in the things that they do. How many kids
to learners?
But how many kids just want to get a job because they're told to be a doctor, they're told to be this, they're told to be that, necessarily don't even care about it. That's how we get situations like these court cases that go on. These people necessarily don't want to be lawyers. They're just doing it because they've been shown that they can be, like my cousin Vinny, showing up in the courtroom, you know, with the whatever. That's what the movies show you. That's what this shows you. But there's no equal opportunity for that. And I do appreciate TikTok and YouTube for those specific aspects of letting people create videos if it's on Facebook Reels, even though annoying and dumb it is. But it gives everybody a little bit of worth more when they get like 1 billion views on their videos or 1 million or 700 shares or however many numbers it is. That number feels good in a sense. And it makes people who might feel like they're worthless feel like something, which I think is important. But it's a more equal opportunity playing field rather than having to go to acting school and praying to, like, you hear the Friends interview, the interview for all the Friends cast members, like, we're so lucky we got a piece of that. Like Jennifer Aniston almost passed it up. Ross, the guy who plays Ross, David Schwimmer almost passed it up. They're like, thank God I didn't. It's the best thing of my life. And it excelled me into success. And I'm like, yeah, does the world just lock you in place and fit you right? Or is it all about like, just, I don't know.
Gratitude. There's got to be gratitude. Yeah. That's funny. I think we just spun around to that because I think that whole scenario played out once before in an episode where we were talking about people getting ahead and, you know, and then I said, gratitude, it's gratitude. You know, like you were talking about, you know, people not looking back to their roots and where they began and, you know, how it launched them and where they're at now. And sometimes I think we need to step back and see what our roots were and to get back into that, whether it's, you know, showing a kid how to do a commercial, giving your time, donating something, and trying to keep that circle going.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm trying to understand a lot of the aspects of things that goes on, but I still like it. As I know, we all talk about it could be an insufficient machine. I mean, it's running as probably as well as what I know it possibly can. There's probably other outside forces that are the reason why it's running the way it's running, but I'm trying to understand it all. But at the same time, it's so hard to say what you feel or what you think at the time period without someone listening and being like, what a pretentious kid. That's all it comes from. Cause it's all about, if I was 90 saying the things that I say, I bet you a lot of people would soak that shit in. But just the age thing is just like, I can't, he's 20. It's like when I hear a 10-year-old talk, I'm like, what are you talking about? You're good at Bitcoin? Bullshit. And the kid's making billions of dollars. It's just so hard because of what we consider valuable. It's always about respect your elders rather than kids are just punks. And it's like, I don't necessarily know if it's like that anymore. There's definitely a large sum I could say probably relate to those examples. But I also look at an aspect of like, I know so many people who are doing such amazing things and they're never given the opportunity to become successful in what they are good at because I don't have the power to give them that success.
Yeah. It's hard to accept vision sometimes. I think like you were saying with youth, you know, I mean, honestly, your age means nothing to me when we sit down to have a podcast, or even if we're just, you know, communicating through whatever other means we're communicating. You know, I don't look at it as, oh my gosh, I'm talking to a 23-year-old, you know, because I told my kids, my son, my stepkids, that the best thing you can do every day is to learn something new. And it doesn't matter from who or from what source, but to learn something new. Now, what you do with that can, you know, definitely dictate the outcome, good or bad, but it doesn't, I've got nothing against sitting down and listening to a teenager tell me about something that they think it is important to them. And if they want to invest their time into it and research that and it betters them or it betters someone else, why should I be the one to knock that down?
Because it doesn't benefit you. I don't know. That's the thing, is like a lot of things. Not,
yeah,
I know you're not.
I know what you're saying. There are too many people out there that's what they're into and that's what they're out there for. You know, it's what do I get out of this? You know, and a lot of times it's, you know, the podcast. What do I get out of this? Dude, I'm having a blast. Every time we sit down and talk, I love the interaction. It's like doing a sales event for Sauce. You know, I'm talking to people. I'm not out there to necessarily make every communication a sale. It's not about the money. It's about that relationship that I just made with that person. Yeah. Because to me, that it means something. And down the road, they may remember that as well. See a bottle sitting on the counter and they're like, oh man, that stuff was really hot, but I know so-and-so that I just met and they're going to love this sauce. And so they buy it, you know? So down the road, maybe it does play. But to me, it's more that it's that internal pot of gold that I pull out of stuff.
Yeah. I get a little bit kind of like, I wouldn't say nostalgic, but I get a little bit reminiscent on those types of things too. I just think it's better when you can have a discussion about what's the thoughts that go on into your head. So you can discern value and hear value from whatever might get spoken after or whatever might get spoken about. You don't see a whole lot of that happening. I mean, dude, fucking TikTok and all that. Like I said, I'm going to crap on it now, but bruh, it'll dumb you down like 10 layers, man. I was watching a whole like hour and a half that led to like all these crappy videos. I mean, I watched a video that was like people doing impressions from the Family Guy thing. Then it was a Family Guy clip. And then after that, it was a Comic-Con convention, people showing off their Family Guy outfits. That's cool and all if that's your thing, but I'm sitting there, next thing you know, it's like 2 hours later. We talk about time being gone. Maybe my time is just being sucked into a mindless device where I'm either watching someone get shot, or I'm watching a horrible car crash, or I'm watching just something like some person like, this is my hand. Tell me what your job is. And I'm like, shut up. My hand is not, I have Parkinson's. I don't know what you want me to say. Like, it just gets to a point where it's like, I can see where there's going to be a lot of people like what happened to the time. And I see that now as just being sucked into these devices. And I'm actually a little bit nervous about the innocence of kids. Mostly, like, there's a new movie with Mel Gibson I've talked about. It's Santa Claus, where he plays Santa Claus. And Santa Claus is like gone gritty, like Rambo style, like world's going to shit. And someone tries to kill Santa Claus. But he talks about like kids don't have any innocence anymore. And it's because of that cell phone. Like before, you would probably found out Santa Claus wasn't real when you were 13 or 14. Now you probably find out when you're 6 or 7, just because your phone, something will come.
Santa Claus is real.
And for you, it'll be whatever age you are.
I still believe.
I believe more in the Grinch. The Grinch didn't hate Christmas. He hated people.
That's right. He never experienced the love.
Which, I mean,
you know, TikTok. I had a TikTok account. I thought, you know what? This is another social media tool that I need to look into for the business because of the gaining popularity. And I also had a reviewer that did a review on my product on TikTok, which was phenomenal, by the way. I mean, the sales that it generated was great. But, you know, after a couple of weeks, I found myself questioning, why in the hell am I on TikTok? I'm trying to find things to put on there and not have it redundant of my other social media presences. And I got tired of it. Like you were saying, I got tired of seeing some of the other crap that was on TikTok, and I would find myself watching some things and just wondering why am I here? I closed it. I closed my TikTok account and I haven't looked back. It's just, I don't know. In the beginning, that one was a struggle for me because I thought I have to have this. And I even heard other sauce makers and companies say, you know, I'm going to have to get into TikTok now. And now I got to have a TikTok account. And I thought, man, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe that's my age too.
I don't think it's that though. I just think you have, I don't know, your thinking is a little bit different. I think TikTok is okay. If you like, you want to, it's just something new. That's all it is. It's something new every, like it's so short and it's new. Like that's what, when I was doing this film, each scene can easily be a TikTok. It's the length of a TikTok basically, but the movie is like 2 hours. And like, you're looking at it, like each one could be an individual TikTok scene because that's what I tried to capture, was that algorithm of just flipping back and forth and flipping back and forth, where it leaves you going, what's the next thing? Like it's always keeping you on your toes. And that's not good. That eventually, I mean, it works for now, but I mean, all my TikTok has is like my buddy Adam's artwork, his time lapse of it, because they get thousands of hits on there. And I'm like, this is how you get your stuff out there. If you're not going to do it, I'll do it for you. It's just, that doesn't lead to anywhere good. I think it causes people to very, very be fast paced in things. And I think when you start getting fast paced, you have an unrealistic understanding of how quickly time moves. Mm-hmm. And I used to have a theory about time when I was a little kid. Whenever I was in school and time would go by so slow, I would be like, obviously time's going by slow because I'm in school. That's what it is. The time is hooked because I'm bored. And whenever boredom happens, time, this is like when I was like 11 and I was like, time just goes by slow. But when I was at home sick or something, time would go by so quick. I was like, well, the time scale must not be on me now. It must be on someone else. And someone else must be having the blast of their life or something like that. And it would be like that. And I would think that the time was like a random individual every single day would get a random different, like their experience would be linked to time. And it would do that type of thing. And then remember when I was like 17, I discovered that there's an actual doomsday clock that shows you like the clock countdown to the apocalypse. I'm like, wait, is this shit real? Like, holy crap. Was I onto something when I was a kid?
It's funny. Time. Yeah. So what do we do with it? You know,
you had to have some theories as a kid. Come on. You got to give me some.
On time?
On anything. Bigfoot, I don't care. That was the dumbest theory I had when I was a kid. You can't just make me look stupid on a show.
There's another one. You're gonna blow that out of the water too, dude. That's like Santa Claus and now Bigfoot. I'm out of here. We're over.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it.
You're gonna be kidding. You're pulling the carpet out from underneath me. I like to entertain the thought of Bigfoot. I've watched some Bigfoot shows on TV. One that I watched, I was so upset because by the time we finished watching this expedition Bigfoot, it made me not believe in Bigfoot. It's like, oh, you guys are trying to prove it. I don't know if it was your point to disprove it, because that's exactly what happened.
Well, weigh your options. What do you got? Bigfoot or aliens? Which one's more real? Because each one has documents. The UFO one's the most common one right now, but they have stories and accounts and definitely reported bones of a different type of species that was alive, another hominid of ape. So,
oh yeah, I have. I don't dis. I can't say disprove. I don't disagree that either does not exist. I would say that there is probably more proof in an alien race, alien meaning we don't know about it. I think that we would be absolutely stupid to think that we are the only ones, even from, okay, even let's say from a Christian standpoint. So even if we were to think that God only created us as mankind, that we are the only beings in existence, I think would be absolutely absurd. You know, and when you talk about technology, is it something that we're getting from somewhere else that we've used, that we've advanced, or is it, did someone else get our technology and advance even faster than we did with it? A great question. I don't know. I think that there's probably already been an existence out there that utilizes technology much better than we do.
When do you think the drawing line is, when we see like a Mars attack style confrontation, not a confrontation, maybe an interaction? When I look at, like, yeah, we can create life, you can have a kid, that's technically creating life, but when you create another timeline of life, like an AI, like a robot that has actual features, and they named these robots with the distinctive facial features, one's called America, and then in the video one of them's in the background and its head turns toward the robot watching it look at its hands and go, oh my god, and then the thing looks away, and then as the thing starts moving again, it turns its head back to look at the other robot like he's learning. And I'm like, that's the leader, kill that one, that's the leader guy. But obviously I think that would be I honestly think the downfall of humanity would be at its own hand. I mean, the fact that we're making ourselves more sterile with the amount of folates, or what is it folates that are in plastics that have dropped our fertility count? Or is it the possibility that we end up creating something that might be outsmarting us? Is it clones? I don't know, man. It leads into a whole aspect where I'm not saying anything's out of the realm of possibility anymore. I just think the one that's the hardest to believe now is like this cryptozoology aspect. I used to be so about that back in the day because, I mean, it's a good study. It's just considered pseudoscience. But there's like so many species we haven't discovered still left. I mean, a large portion of our ocean probably holds around like 60 million something species. And that's just different variants of like fish. Well, this fish has two stripes instead of three. That's a different species. Well, it's the same species, just different variant. But okay. Just like the coronavirus, different variant, same shit. But Bigfoot and all that, dude, like those stories are just, they go so folklore and so mythological, where like my buddy was telling me dragons, they might actually be comets because they talk about fiery beasts from the sky. And I'm like, well, where did they get the reptilian thing from? And he goes, well, I mean, is it out of the realm of possibility to think that maybe, I don't know, when the earth reset or did whatever its thing is, the meteor hit or anything, there were dinosaurs that did survive. And then when it reset again, it might've been those dragon type things that got killed off. I don't know. I mean, they're finding weird stuff all the time at the bottom of our oceans. I have no clue.
Yeah. I've heard the dragon story before too. And maybe the first person that drew on that cave wall, they could associate it with was something that they knew on the land. And so, you know, all of a sudden this embellished story of, the alligator crocodile at the time became a dragon. Who knows? I can just see the first alien invasion, though. You were asking about that first Mars attacks moment or whatever. I can definitely see the giant palm plant. You know, it's like earthlings. You know, why would aliens want our planet? Because obviously, I would think if they came here, they would think we can't help this place. Their goals are just so out of perspective. They're not here to better themselves as a society. Everybody, not everybody, They're out there for their own individual look at me moment or get me more money moment or things that aren't really prospering a society. It's too much of a all out for me attitude. And so I think that maybe at some point an alien race would come in here and say, well, there's nothing here for us, fellas.
I relate the alien kind of concept of the same thinking I think of with God. Like, I'm not religious, but the way I think of, if there is a God, he's not here anymore. He left. And I think that was like the aliens. Like, the aliens might have created us in the vision of themselves or something, but then you see it destroying. Like, it's just watching your kids destroy each other. It's just like, what? I'm not going to let them work it out, that type of thing. But then when your kids create another form of life, another timeline of life, not its own species outside of that, leads into the robotics or the AI or the cloning type thing, that's where they would intervene. I mean, honestly, in my opinion, if they should have intervened, it should have been like when Britney Spears was going through all that bullshit. They should have been like, all right, hey, we're have the final say in there. Her dad's a piece of shit, but also she's not mentally sane.
I think they would have come back in the 80s before MTV was done.
Yeah, they should have did it for the child. At least come back before we lost Elvis. Good God. Can you have stopped that guy from just destroying his own life?
I think that God is still here as far as a Christian standpoint goes. It's, you know, the viewpoint of the person looking at it. It's if we choose to continue to see the negative in the world, there is plenty of that to see. The less people watch the news, myself included, the better I feel because of the crap that we're fed. There's still good out there. I still see it.
I think there is, definitely. Yeah. I just think it's much more profitable to show you all the bad shit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's better control to sell people drugs. You know, I mean, let's put something else on the market and call it by some name that should be another alien planet, you know. Vralar? Seriously? Who did that?
It's definitely freeing because at my gym, we have three TVs set up in the cardio spot. And on the one all the way to the left is the nature show, like the Nature Discovery Channel, whatever, Animal Planet. In the middle is Fox and the right is CNN because people want to watch either of those two. I just look at the nature one. I'm like, this shows you the two evil ones over here. But then we got the good shit on the fucking thing. Like I watched, there's a Instagram page. A lot of people always recommend Nature versus Metal. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But there's a guy put up a post of a deer and he says head ornament. And the deer had another deer's antlers locked in his own and he had ripped that deer's head off. So it's just a deer head stuck up on top of the deer's head, like a fucking hat kind of type thing, but it was a battle thing. And it just was so, everything on that page is like, it's extreme content, but it's fucking just primal shit, dude, where you start to realize like, yeah, it's like, people say I could beat up a bear. I was like, fuck, no, you can't. You wouldn't make it past step one, man. I'm afraid of all that. I'm afraid of chimps, man. They bite your fingers off and shit. There's that lady that gave her chimp Xanax. And did you hear about that story?
No.
This was a while back, dude. It was nuts. I got two animal stories for you. So one, a lady had given her chimp Xanax, like a small little chimp, not like the really tiny monkeys, but an actual like chimp, like the ones you would see classic covers of, like you would see holding a banana in a zoo, like a zoo person would have them on top of his head and things, you know, size of a toddler, a little
bit.
Giving it Xanax. And this lady camp, or was it a lady or was it a friend? I guess it was a male friend of hers. The chimp felt like the lady was that friend was cock blocking the chimp. Like the chimp just, when something like an animal like that, any types of animals, and you stay with one long enough, you end up developing some type of weird kind of imprinting connection that they develop or something like that. And fucking the lady was feeding her chimp Xanax. And the chimp just fucking bit this lady's nose off and shit. I have to look it up, dude. I have to read the story. But
wow.
I don't know. People are fun. I don't know, man. There's that lady that the second story is there's a lady that was rehabbing a dolphin and she developed a really tight relationship with this dolphin. She filled half of her house with water. So the dolphin could live inside the house as well too. And she ended up like having sex with the dolphin and stuff like that too. Cause they just developed this type of like deep connection. Maybe she was lonely or a freak. I don't know.
Definitely a lonely freak. Yes. We'll go with that.
I don't put it out of the realm of possibility anymore. I mean,
no, I don't either.
Let's see it right here.
the gloves are off. That's for sure. And there are many people that have proven that.
We got to read this like a news report. Hang on. Here it is.
Page 3.
Let me know when you see what I see. Do you see it?
It said you started screen sharing, but not, okay, here it just came up.
Charlotte Nash, the 55-year-old woman who was attacked by a 200-pound. All right, that's not the size of a fucking toddler. I'm so sorry.
You are right. That is one fat kid. Let's start over. Page 2. Charlotte Nash, the 55-year-old woman who was attacked by a 200-pound chimpanzee last February, is now blind. And doctors say she will need at least 2 years of surgery. This is crazy.
The investigation into the attack is ongoing as police in Stanford Con delve into what happened the day her friend, chimp owner Sandra Harold, called 911 screaming he ripped her face off. The savage 12-minute attack on Nash by Harold's beloved chimp Travis left Nash's face and hands extremely damaged. The chimp was shot and killed by police. I was just kind of in shock, she told. No shit. Oh my God. All right, now, lady.
And there's a civil lawsuit.
Slept.
There it is with dolphin.
With dolphin. See, I'm not crazy. These people are.
Oh, isn't Google wonderful?
The story of Margaret Howe Levette, who in the 1960s took part in a NASA-funded research project in which she developed an unusual relationship with a dolphin named Peter, a relationship at that time became sexual. The emotional attachment between humans and animals is well documented.
NASA-funded.
Yeah, but NASA, I mean, the CIA created the Unabomber, so.
NASA-funded.
The CIA created the Unabomber by using their MK Ultra experiments. There's a documentation on that too. It's freaking, it's nuts, man. Where I'm like, I get it for the name of science, I guess, but Jesus Christ, you could be understanding why people are hesitant in the science. Like, I mean, hey, look, if you're having sex with a dolphin, that's up to you. But I mean, NASA also has a bad track record. I mean, if it's Buzz Aldrin punching somebody in the face over saying that the stuff on the Mars stuff isn't real. Or is it that one lady who drove, 900 miles to
Florida?
Yeah, to attack that lady. And she wore a diaper so she didn't have to stop for bathroom breaks.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
I was just watching a NASA file, too, about space. And it was interesting because there was a voice clip from the lunar module that NASA has somehow lost. And we pay NASA billions and billions to entrust them with the most top secret things possible, and you lose an audio clip. Really? The funny thing was they still had the transcript for it. So I mean the wording is still there, but you know, it's just like, really? I mean, come on, a cover-up's a cover-up.
Who do you think is which facility, I would say, of like special forces, but like government style stuff. Who do you think has like the most probably sketchy, weird backtrack history?
CIA.
I think so too. I definitely think, like, I know the CIA is banned from ever working on US territory, but I know they do it. Like, they've been caught so many times working on US territory where I'm just like, I definitely think they just keep moving the goalpost and no one's saying anything.
You subcontract. Sorry, we didn't do that, which my hands are clean.
That's what NASA does with this Bill Nelson guy. He might be a NASA director, but he's like subcontracted under some type of thing. It's kind of like the Fauci and the Beagles. It was the White Coast Waste Project. And I was like, what? What is this type of stuff is going on? I don't know what's true in the world anymore. I'm starting to question more, but I wonder. I would say the FBI. I don't know. Every time I see him, they're all like, what's your name? Vince. What's your name? Vince. Is everyone here named Vince? Yep. Okay. That's why I don't trust any of you. They're holding.
This has been Out of the Blank with Rob and Vince. And
they're holding Bigfoot hostage.
That's what I want Santa Claus to bring me as Bigfoot.
What are you talking about? You mean your parents?
No, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Dude.
Tooth Fairy's real, though.
I'm not getting a Bigfoot either.
No.
I'm a Mothman.
You think you? I love the Mothman idea. If you look up, there's a cryptid tracker that'll tell you your cryptid by state. I have
Ohio's got quite a few, dude.
Yeah, people creative out there. Wait, you're in Ohio?
What? I am.
Oh, I was about to say, I was thinking about moving out there. It's cheap.
Yeah, I'm in Ohio.
Okay. All right. We don't have to say exactly where, but I don't think anybody on my listening playlist is a serial killer, so I don't think you have to worry.
Oh, I can say Columbus. I mean, that's basically where I am.
Oh, like the movie Zombieland. The guy was from Columbus, Ohio.
That's right. Columbus.
Did you feel like a connection when he said that? I would have been. That's what I do. Whenever I find out something happens, like, but sadly, when it comes to my town, it's only like murders and shit. So I'm like, I don't want to be connected to that guy.
Ohio, yes.
Thought you were in Michigan.
Negative.
Missouri.
Wrong again.
Starts with an MI.
Minnesota.
I don't know. You said it. I don't think it's that easy. We don't have to give away your address. It's okay.
An MI? No.
I don't remember. I shipped a package.
Go with Hill Valley. Hill Valley. I'm in Hill Valley.
That's where Mark Rubio lives.
Hill Valley. That's where Marty McFly and Doc Brown live. Hill Valley.
That's right. I got them confused. I know you got to get your packages to the postal service.
I got to get some stuff out in the mail. Yes, sir. Had a big giveaway yesterday.
And where is that business that people can find your products?
That can be found at sauceandglazed.com. Home of the take 25% off sale now through December. Make sure to use code TAKE25 at checkout.
Bingo. Okay. Well, that's been a podcast where we've exposed the truths to you, hopefully. And the truth is that you can get 25 off with Take 25. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay tuned for another episode of Out of the Blank.